lower on stats like touchdowns, rushing yards, interceptions, things like that. If you get your picks right, you can win up to 5,000 times your money, and you only need $1 to play. That's it. As little as a dollar. It's that simple. I love playing underdog with baseball. I love it with basketball. Football, man, football is the best. Download the app today and sign up with promo code OOB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog. Make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Ships at sea. How are you today, Producer Ramona?
I'm good, Walt. How are you doing?
You know. It was the exact type of game I thought it would be. You know, I thought it would be 21-20, 24-21. One side wins, one side loses. It was that. We have lots to get to. I know the people have been pretty angry all day, and I get it. You know, sometimes that anger dissipates a little by three, but you can get in and make your comments and calls. There's so much to get to. I don't want to leave anything out. So let me start with something I heard Ben Milstead say on the way in. And I had this thought after the LSU game. I don't know if I ever voiced it on air, but I had this thought. It was my plan to voice it. I don't think I ever got to it. But I heard Ben say, you know, I think that Tom Allen should be on the football field. And then Jason from Columbia called in response to that and said, yeah, you know, I agree with that. He said, I think we've had it backwards the last couple of years. We had Wes on the field, and we have Tom Allen in the booth. Yeah, it gets a full road rage endorsement right there. 100%. Tom Allen has to be on the football field. I'm sorry. It's just obvious, absolutely obvious why Tom Allen needs to be on the football field. You know, I get you get a better view. I get you're watching all 22. I get all that. It doesn't matter. What you're missing is the human connectivity kick there, A, on the sideline part of it. And that's a part you need. That's a part this team needs. Now, maybe it shouldn't, but it does. It does. This team needs the Venables factor on the sideline. That a guy who's going to chew out players in the game, right there in their presence, not relay it down. That's not the same thing. So I just think that's obvious. Look, I don't know what number that is on the list of things that are problems right now, but to me, that's obvious that Tom Allen needs to go down to the field. I think someone's writing me and saying Lincoln Riley needs to go up. Maybe. Tex said Boulware can handle that portion. He can't. It's got to come from the defensive coordinator. Tom Allen needs to be on the football field. There's just no question about it. I'm sorry. It's just blatantly obvious. He needs to be on the football field. I don't even know how anyone would dispute that. at this point. I'm on. Look, here's the thing. You lost to a one-man gang. You can forget all those other Georgia Tech guys. You can forget about Haynes. You can forget about Holesley. You can forget about Rutherford. You can talk about all those guys all you want. Clemson, listen, Clemson did not lose the eye discipline battle, right? We talked at length last week about the need for Clemson's eye discipline to be an all-time high level. I actually thought they were pretty good in that element. It wasn't these other guys and the other elements of the offense that beat Clemson. It was one dude who people wanted to disparage. It was Haynes King and the inability to stop A-gap runs from the quarterback. I mean, he threw for 2-something. He went like 20 of 28, and he ran for 110 or 112 or whatever it was on 25 carries. And late in the game, Clemson could not stop him. And every meaningful snap late in the game, he won. He won. And it wasn't that, again, forget all the window dressing stuff. It wasn't anybody else. The only time Georgia Tech got in trouble in the game was when they didn't have him touch the ball. You know, people will talk about, well, you know, Clemson had 2 turnovers, and that was the difference. Georgia Tech fundamentally had 2 turnovers as well. They didn't show up as turnovers, but they had a 4th-and-1 deep in Clemson territory after 2 30-yard runs by Haynes King, and they put the tight end in motion and handed it to the tight end. They took the ball out of Haynes King's hand on 4th-and-1. There's no way on earth Clemson was stopping Haynes King. But they're stopping the tight end. And then earlier in the game, I think it was earlier, they're down at the goal line. They have a 3rd-and-4th down, 3rd-and-2, 4th-and-2. They didn't run it. I don't know why. But that was a gift. That was early in the game. That was a gift to Clemson from Georgia Tech. You know, basically one dude beat you. One dude that you couldn't stop. Now, I don't know what that says, but that's disconcerting. You know, Dabo Swinney mentioned that Clemson's soft on the corners. Yeah, they're soft on the corners. And I didn't think the tackling in space was great at times. But I think, you know, in this defense has not been great. And I do think there was some sign of life from the offense, but I think the defense basically could not get a stop late in the game. Now, some will want to say, well, it's because the offense doesn't move the ball and the defense is on the field a lot. It's true. It's all interconnected, you know. So how you figure out what percentage goes of blame goes where, that's a difficult choice. There's enough blame to go around. I just said to John Height before the show, I said, John, how many first downs does Clemson have in the year? And obviously, you know, we didn't know the answer off the top of my head. I knew it wasn't going to be good. So John looked it up for me. 47 first downs on the year. 47 first downs. That puts Clemson 108th in the country. And there are a bunch of teams that Clemson's in front of that have only played 2 games. That if you extrapolate their numbers out, it's more like 121. It's more like Clemson's 121st in the nation in first down production. Why is this important? We talk about scoring. Obviously, the game is ultimately decided by who scores points, and scoring points matters. But there's a game within the game, and the game within the game is control of the game. Last year, Clemson couldn't control football games because the defense couldn't stop the run. All right, that's been fixed. That, by and large, Tom Allen has fixed that. Will Held has helped, but Tom Allen has fixed that, by and large. But there are still plenty of times where the opposing team is controlling the ball, and they're stringing first downs together, whereas Clemson is not producing any first downs. And so the offense is just basically never on the field. They go out there, they run 3 ineffective plays, the defense comes back out on the field. That's a hard thing to ask the defense to do. So there's plenty of blame to go around. 47 first downs in 3 games, and a lot of those, quite honestly, some of those are garbage time, but 47 first downs, you know, not good. Not good. And again, there are, I think, 13 teams behind Clemson in that category have only played two games. And some teams in front of Clemson that have only played two games. But I think there are 13 behind Clemson that have only played two. So again, if you extrapolate that number out, it's more like 121. It's more like Clemson is 121st in the nation of 134, whatever it is now, 134 teams in terms of first down production. That means they're never on the field. They're just never on the field. You can't win if you don't string first downs together. You can't. People want to play tempo. You can't play tempo with this type of ineffective offense. Now, the offense, again, I thought showed some signs of life, which we'll get to at some point here. And I think the defense failed. I mean, I think the defense failed at the end of the game, just could not stop Haynes King. You know who's getting the ball. You know who's making the plays. And you can't stop him. And that's a little disturbing. It's a little disturbing because, again, I think from an overall eye discipline standpoint, Clemson looked well-schooled in that regard. It wasn't all of the other things. It wasn't all of the peripheral things that Georgia Tech does and all of that danger and all the eye discipline stuff that forced them. I mean, there were some Haynes King runs that he kept the ball that eye discipline was an issue on. You know, he'll fake a toss sweep and he'll just run an A-gap quarterback run. But that was the reality. It was one man beat Clemson. And again, that dude's the toughest player in America. I've said this a million times. There's no question about it. You know, if Georgia Tech didn't have him, Clemson wins that game by 30. You know, but they do have him. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting year. I don't know whether he can stay healthy or not, but if he can, they're going to win a lot of football games. They're going to win a lot of football games. From Clemson's standpoint, it just still all needs to get better. It's not good enough. I'm not a big believer in this one play away stuff. That was the Tommy Bowden. I wrote this on Twitter. That was the Tommy Bowden theory, always one play away. You're also one play away from losing other games that you won. You know, there's not a category for that, all right? The close games count. If you lose them, that's on you. That's on the quarterback. That's on you. You know, that's the reality of it. I mean, the first game, anyone who watched it knows that LSU controlled that whole first game. They just looked like the better team. You know, it was sort of a miracle that Clemson got to the end and was one play away. The second game, you're trailing Troy 16-3 at the half. And if it wasn't for the fake field goal one play, you might not even win that game. You might be 0-3. And so I don't like the one play away thing. I think that sends the wrong message to me. I mean, again, that was the Bowden message. Again, there's not a category for that. There's wins, losses. There's not one play away. Okay, it doesn't go wins, losses, one play away. Because one play away works both ways. But when people bring it up, they only bring up the side that benefits their argument. So I don't like that. I like the idea that Dabo Sweeney's taking responsibility. Let me say this, okay? I am getting the stuff on Twitter from people who want Dabo Sweeney fired. Okay, that's nuts. All right. That's the fringe crazy element. That's not where you are. The guy wins 10 games every year. You're not firing a dude who wins. Were any of you people alive for Tommy West? Do you remember Tommy Bowden? I mean, you still have it really good. You just don't have it quite as good as you did. And so we get spoiled in that regard. Does Dabo Sweeney maybe need to reconsider some things? Yeah, I think so. If he wants to actually get back to a national championship level team. And I don't think at this point you can keep saying that, you know, I don't think the one play away thing benefits you. Because if you think that, then you actually convince yourself that you're good enough. And this team doesn't look good enough right now. This team looks good enough to lose again before the meat of the schedule. That's where they look. None of the stars are playing well at all. None of them. Just none of them. You know, you're getting some production from some places, but none of the stars are playing good. The corners haven't been good. You know, Cade has not been good at all. You know, and people, somebody wrote me the other day and said, but Walt, it can't all be on Cade. Well, I said, well, look, here's why it can, okay? Because he's the guy with all the glory. He's the guy with all the NIL money. You know, that's the reality, okay? So he's got to play better, and he's not played well. He's not throwing the ball well. I mean, he's not seeing guys open, and he's not throwing the ball well. You know, and we always revert to, well, he's got to go through his progressions. He doesn't go through his progressions. I mean, again, look, let me tell you how it really works at the top level when you've achieved the art form, okay? When you've achieved the art form, for example, Tom Brady. People think like Brady was the best in history at going through progressions. Well, he actually wasn't. You know why? Because he didn't need to. Every decision Brady made, he made pre-snap. Almost every decision. He'll tell you this himself. Almost every Brady decision was made pre-snap. Now, again, he's the all-time maestro of the position. But he would come to the line of scrimmage, look at a defense, he'd know exactly where he was going with the ball. He didn't need to go through progressions. He knew prior to the ball ever being snapped where he was going with the ball because he knew what the flaw in the defense was. Now, Cade isn't at that point. But again, you know, the people who want him to go through progressions, look, there are times he seems to lock on guys, which I get, but I also would prefer that he's decisive and have some idea pre-snap where he's going with the ball based on the look he's getting from the defense so that he can get the ball out of his hand. But look, when you play the position that gets all the glory, that gets all the Heisman love, that gets all the NIL money, the expectations come with that. Sorry. It's the way it is. That's the way it is. So he does get the most blame. 100% he gets the most blame. He plays the most important position. He's not played well. He gets the most blame. He's getting more NIL money than anybody else. He gets the most blame. Now, there's a lot of blame to go around. But you don't get to have that both ways. You don't. There are expectation levels that come with all of that, and he's not met them. That's quite clear. Quick break. Walt Tiptula Road Rage. We'll be back.
A scholarship doesn't just pay for school.
When I first started out, I'd be around a baseball field all day, just watching the guys' feet, like how they're moving, how they're breaking out of the clay. Turf grass management is not just cutting grass. There's so much more to it.
It turns passion into purpose.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to find myself again, to get an education, eventually starting my organization. I got legs.
Adam and Greg are two of over 750,000 Life Scholars giving back for a better South Carolina. Visit seeducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Contractors, we know what it takes to build something great. Long days, hard work, and the right materials. At Harbin Lumber Company, we're here to make sure you've got everything you need to get the job done. Since 1917, we've been your trusted partner in building dreams, from framing lumber to finished materials. When you work with Harbin, you're not just getting quality supplies, you're getting a team that's got your back. Visit one of our local lumber yards today and let's build dreams together.
Here at ATV Outfitters, we stock more ATV, UTV, motocross, and street bike products than anyone for hundreds of miles around. We have more than 10,000 tires and wheels on hand. We pride ourselves on great prices and getting you the accessories you need fast. Come see us for the items that are readily available to get your vehicle ready for the street, trail, or mud pit. Don't buy elsewhere or we'll both lose money. Come by the store located at 2485 Rutherford Road, Greenville today.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit EngineersLeap.com.
Break out the bell bottoms and fire up the disco ball. Staying Alive is back at the Walhalla Performing Arts Center, October 3rd and 4th. It's the ultimate Bee Gees tribute, bringing the groove, the glitter, and all the hits you love. from Jive Talking to Staying Alive. This high-energy show will have you boogieing all night long. Don't miss your chance to relive the golden age of disco. Get your tickets now at WalhallaPAC.com.
Sweet summertime is coming to an end, and all parents know what that means. Back-to-school preparations. You have the school supplies, new backpack and clothes, but what's the one thing your son needs? A fresh new haircut that will start off his school year right. No matter what age, feeling good about yourself is always in style. Let him be his best self this school year, and call Roosters for your appointment today at 884-8920.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
2008 was an incredible year for me and my family. Not only was it the year that I became head coach at Clemson, but it was also the year that I found the only dealership I need for sales and service. Toyota of Easley is my kind of place. If you are considering the purchase of a new or used vehicle or need your current vehicle serviced or repaired, then I encourage you to go see the winning team at Toyota of Easley. Be sure and tell them Dabo sent you.
You've heard the phrase, all hat, no cattle. Well, Whataburger's new Bacon Wrangler Double is anything but. It's got beef that's never from the freezer, always hot off the grill. Monterey Jack and American cheese, bacon, crispy onions, chipotle aioli, and pickles. You might even say it's all cattle and a hat. A 5-inch bun hat, cowboy. Introducing the new Whataburger Bacon Wrangler Double. For a limited time, Whataburger.
If you are a realtor in the upstate of South Carolina, I want to help you close more deals. And here's how I can do that. I'm Mike. I'm the owner of One Tom Plumber, and we are already working with realtors in your area doing the same exact thing. We're the go-to plumbing crew for realtors all across the state of South Carolina because we provide a free same-day quote based on your home inspection report.
Just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. That's their name. That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
Is your business craving efficiency? Is it hungry for productivity? Then there's a tech solution you should implement now if you want to crush your KPIs and you also want BLTs or burrito bowls or like bagels. It's called EasyCater, one platform for ordering food from a huge variety of restaurants for all your workplace needs, from falafel for the finance team to lasagna for the lunch and learn, plus tools to help you save time and stay on budget. Ready to nail your deliverables? Order now at EasyCater.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
When you bleed orange, there's only one place to be.
Kane takes a shot, got a snap, blitz coming. Kane gets away from the blitz, rolls right side, throws downfield, got a man wide open, Moore inside the 10, catches it, inside the 5, touchdown!
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Walt Tiptula Road Rage. I guess Ramona's trying to change the mood. I guess that's...
Well, yeah, I mean...
A little Happy Beach Boy
music. That's a Happy Beach Boy song.
We are coming to the end of summer. I guess Ramona's trying to change the mood. You know, again, it's funny because John Knight mentioned to me that, you know, Tom Allen did have some trouble stopping Riley Leonard quarterback runs in the Notre Dame-Penn State game last year. There is something to that. how much it's connected, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. But fundamentally, look, it's absolutely clear that Tom Allen preached eye discipline all week in preparation for Georgia Tech. And I think in that regard, I think they were well coached. I think they were well coached in terms of eye discipline. They did not get beaten in those areas, per se. But at the same time, they did get beaten by one 200-pound, 6-foot white dude. Over and over and over and over again, like a freaking sledgehammer. And I don't know, you know, this dude's listed at 215, Haynes King. He doesn't look 215. No, 203, maybe, something like that. But the part that amazes me is this guy goes up against big-time defensive talents after big-time defensive talents like he did against Georgia last year, like he did against Clemson, and he always goes forward. I don't know how that's possible. I don't know how it's possible. He always goes forward. He always falls forward for a yard or two. By the way, a football coach just wrote me and said, going to be a long day when you can't tackle a quarterback. Misreads, guys open. How do you still not have three running backs ready to play at a D1 program? Okay, we're going to get to that. Also, he thinks that it's a commentary on Vezina, that Vezina must be terrible because you pick a spot and you let Klubnik watch a series. He said, I picked about three times. He should have sat out a series and watched, maybe changed his demeanor. I've said the same thing. I've said the same thing that I would have thought that by now you would have set him for a series, second quarter, something. See whether the other guy gives you a spark. See whether it lights a fire under Cade, something. Because, you know, this team has basically flatlined their way through three games. That's what it looks like. You know, I don't know whether guys are playing with a mind's eye in the NFL, but I know their NFL stock's deteriorating. The imaginary NFL stock that a lot of the draft Nick community, the draft complex industry came up with for these guys is quickly going away because none of them are playing like that at all. I've told you before, Cade Klubnik was never going to be the number one pick in the draft, just never. And, you know, and I'm going to tell you what, on the Peter Woods front, because I know people are getting disturbed with that element too. He does get doubled a lot. But on the Peter Woods element, let me say this. All offseason when I said I want to see Peter Woods at 305, I said this. I said, if that doesn't work, then there's another issue that I don't really want to get into, that I didn't really want to get into at that time. But I said, if it doesn't work and you don't see a completely dominant Peter Woods, then I'd bring it up at some point. Well, I guess we're at some point. And some point is, I'm going to be really interested to see what Peter Woods' arm length is. Because I think he has really short arms. And I think that's part of what impacts him in taking on these double teams. And when he's not double teamed, I think that's an issue. Parker has not played like a dominant player. He's not played like a round one player at all in any way, shape or form. He just hasn't. And so you haven't got that type of play. You know, Kwok brought up Capehart today on my way in, and you know, Capehart is playing pretty well. And Capehart's a guy I said before the season that I thought he was the most interesting player on that defensive front. And maybe he still will be. You know, there were some times out there the other day that you saw Woods and Adams. I have also called for Woods and Adams combo. But, you know, this team's not playing well enough on either side of the ball. It's more than a one-play thing. It's an extended period of time now. It's not just the start of this year. It's last year. It's proven you can beat good teams. This team doesn't seem capable of beating good teams right now. You know, the only good team that Clemson's beaten in recent memory is SMU. And quite honestly, that took a miracle. It took a combination of a lottery kick return combined with a lottery kick to beat SMU, because you had completely relinquished control of that game. SMU had totally dominated the last three quarters of that game after they got through turning the ball over in the first quarter. So there's not been any real quality play in a while against quality football teams. And again, I don't know how good Georgia Tech is. I mean, I think Georgia Tech is a nice team with an elite college player at quarterback. I mean, a guy who should get Heisman consideration now, quite frankly. But beyond that, how good are they? You know, you hate to sort of extrapolate this stuff out and make ridiculous appraisals based on transitive properties. But, you know, if you were to just look at that element, you know, Georgia Tech struggled with Colorado. Now, that was game one, but they struggled with Colorado. Colorado just got drilled by Houston. I mean, drilled. So, you know, if you extrapolate that out, how good really is Georgia Tech? I don't think we know the answer to that yet. We know that they've got one super dog in Haynes King who believes he can take on anybody and win the day, and he did so against Georgia last year, and he did it again against Clemson on Saturday. They've got that dude, you know, but how good are they really? I don't know. I know they, you know, now they're trying to mix in some man coverage. There are a lot of holes in that man coverage when they go to man. Anytime they went to man, there was an opportunity for Clemson to hit big plays. Now, it didn't always happen. It didn't, but there were opportunities there. And you saw some of that with Wesco. You saw some of that. So I don't know about the state of the state right now. I know people are thinking, well, you know, we could win the next five. And I I'm worried about the next one. I'm not worried about the next five at this point. I want to win one football game against a power four team. You know, that's where I am right now. Win one game against a power four team, because that in itself has been a while. You know, it's not good. And the list of guys who have played well thus far is a really short list, a really short list. I don't even know. I mean, Brown has played pretty well. You know, he's a freak talent. Who else has played well? I mean, Wesco has come to life. That's good. I think Adam Randall, to some degree, has come to life. And look, I'm going to tell you what I said about it. I see a lot of people writing me and asking me, Walt, don't we need to give Randall the ball more? Well, no, not right now. No. He carried it 15 times. Right now, that's all he's built for. Okay? I know what it looks like. He's not been a running back. Not in college. Okay? He's been a receiver. And as a receiver, he didn't play that much. So now you're throwing that guy into the running back room and you're saying, what do you want to do? Give it to him 30 times? He's not built for that. If you actually watch the game, I've not even watched the replay. I saw this live. He asked out a number of times. He asked out of the game a number of times. I saw it. All right, so he's not ready to carry the ball 25 or 30 times. You can't do that with him yet. You know, and he's still trying to figure out what he is as a running back. I mean, he doesn't run behind his pads. So, you know, he needs more training in that regard. He's a tall back, so that's part of that problem. But the other part of it is he's just not been a running back. But if you think he's ready to carry it 30 times, you're crazy. All you need to do is watch that game, and you see he's tapping out. And with good reason. You know, you've got to learn how to absorb all that contact and to be an every down running back. And that doesn't happen overnight. That's the part that people are missing. So, I mean, could that be the case five games from now? Yeah, maybe. But you're not there yet. That seems clear. Adam in Somerville. Adam, how are you?
Doing well, Walt. Now, how about yourself?
Yeah, thank you, Adam. Appreciate you getting in.
Yeah, thanks for the line. Walt, yeah, I just wanted to run a couple of things by you. I think you've hit the nail on the head on quite a few things. Just a frustrating start to the year. You know, I think it all starts with Klubnik. You know, Riley's been disappointing with the play calling. The deepest offensive line, most experienced offensive line that Clemson's had in the past three decades. I mean, where has that been?
Yep.
I know we've had some injuries there, but still, I mean, I've spent all season listening how deep they were. Well, if you're near as deep as they say they were, well, they could absorb some of these injuries. and not have the running game just be non-existent. But yeah, I think it starts with Cade, and they had to. It's all mental with him, in my opinion. They've had to reprogram him so much that I really think, Walt, that Antonio Williams, all of a sudden, that first game, that Cade is such a mentally unstable that having his go-to guy, his number one guy, be taken out and no time to prepare for it, I think that just threw him for a world. And I don't think he's still recovered from it. All great quarterbacks have a go-to receiver, but for a guy mentally as unstable as Cade is, I think having the go-to receiver is more important for him than a lot of other quarterbacks just because of his mental awareness. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I have said that I've emphasized that I thought Antonio Williams was a big loss for him because I think he was his security blanket, and I think to a lesser degree, Jake Bringstuhl was his other security blanket. So largely, he lost both of those guys. But, you know, it wasn't that alone, Adam. It was those two things combined with the fact that the first game of the year, he's going up against Blake Baker, the defensive coordinator for LSU, who's a hyper-aggressive dude. And Blake Baker couldn't be that last year because he didn't have Weeks, and he didn't have Perkins. He didn't have any of those pieces. So
he didn't have the pieces.
Right. So he comes out in game one. Now he's back to the way he was when he was coaching at Missouri. He's hyper aggressive. And so he sends everything at Cade from every angle, and he blitzes him right from the beginning. And that, combined with not having your security blanket, I think put ghosts in Cade's head. You know, he abandoned the pocket constantly. His first instinct, he reverted back to his first instinct, which is to bail. That's always been his first instinct. And I think he came out of that game losing whatever confidence he had coming in, and I think he came out of that game really unsettled, and I don't think we've seen a confident Cade since. And until you find that, you're going to continue to experience problems. Your quarterback has to be confident, and he has had almost a false confidence.
Absolutely. That's where it starts and ends. And you know, I'm tired of hearing about, we just got to work harder, just got to keep working. You know, some kind of changes need to be made because, I mean, you're not going to get your next real test until South Carolina. And, you know, are we going to have to suffer through a couple more losses with Cade at the rim?
I think Vezina should have played by now. I've said this, and I think that I think he should have been in for a series. A coach just wrote me and said that. I've said the same thing. I wrote it on Twitter previously. I think we should have seen Vezina for a second quarter series to see whether he gave the team any spark, to see whether whether sitting down and inspired Cade any. I think it would have benefited everybody involved unless...
Absolutely.
Yeah, unless, as this coach says, Vezina simply can't play.
The sample size on Cade is too big now. I mean, we've seen time and time again, 3 years of it, and turns out, I mean, he had great numbers last year, but it was against a soft schedule. Looking back on it,
yeah, a lot of the big numbers were early against bad teams. Yes, that's a fact.
Early against bad teams and a soft schedule, and it's 3 years of it now, Walt, and it doesn't look to be getting any better.
Thank you, Adam. Good job. Good call. That's a fair call. Again, you can get in 654-7627. These lines have been completely tied up for the last 3 weeks, but you can get in right now if you'd like to talk more about this today. I figured that people might be a little burnt out by three. You know, there was a lot of anger. There's a lot of anger expressed today. I knew that was coming. You know, we'll talk more about it, obviously, moving forward. Quick break.
On Saturday, the Clemson Tigers will host the Syracuse Orange, and we've got you covered all day long right here on The Roar. Starting at 6 a.m. live at Burton Gallery inside Little John Coliseum, we've got the Ingles Tiger pregame show. Then at 9 a.m., it'll be the Tiger tailgate show with Faxon Childress and his crew. At noon, Don, Tim, and Reggie will have to call the game, and Dono, Clark, and I will take you home with the fifth quarter show. We are the flagship station for Clemson Athletics. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Your access to cutting-edge pain relief just got even easier. QC Kinetics is now offering virtual consultations with new patients. If you're living with chronic joint pain, you can meet with a QC medical professional from the comfort of your own home. This new telemedicine platform is exciting. It's time-saving as well. They can do it by phone. They can do it by video conference. You're going to get one-on-one attention to evaluate your situation, to see if you're a candidate for regenerative medicine, to see if they can get you treatment scheduled right there on the spot for long-lasting pain relief. QC Kinetics, the leader in cellular technology, regenerative medicine, they're helping so many folks right now. If you tried the drugs, tried the steroids, tried the surgery, don't do that. Do it with QC Kinetics right now. Schedule that consultation. Do it online, 864-766-8454, 864-766-8454. Virtual consultation, fast, quick, and easy and convenient. Call now, 864-766-8454.
In 1977, Bo started frying chicken so full of real Southern flavor, folks are still talking. They say it's the bold seasoning and hand breading that make our chicken the crispiest, the juiciest, the Carolina legend. Legends last, but this $5.99 leg and thigh deal won't. It's Bo time.
Sending your student to Clemson? Why rent when you can invest? At Sunrise by Empire Homes in Pendleton, just 8 miles from campus, you can own a brand new home starting in the low 400s. Perfect for game day weekends, visits, or future rental income. Build from the ground up and personalize it, or move in now and lock in a low 3.99% year one rate on a quick move-in home. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com. Smart living, smarter investment.
At Ingles, we know that fresh means local. The best ingredients don't come from a world away. They come from your own backyard, which is why we rise to the challenge of providing the freshest items you'll find anywhere. Getting our foods from the farms we support, to the stores we love, to the tables you treasure. Ingles, we're with you every step of the way.
Jimmy John's just changed the game. Introducing the Chicken Bacon Ranch, now toasted. Picture this: juicy chicken, crispy bacon, and melty cheese, all drizzled in our rich homestyle ranch, sandwiched between perfectly toasted fresh baked bread. Crunchy, creamy, absolutely irresistible. One bite and you'll taste the difference. Warm, melty perfection that takes flavor to the next level. The Chicken Bacon Ranch, now hot, toasty, and calling your name. Get yours today, only at Jimmy John's.
The show continues after this quick timeout. Man, we're really having a great show today.
You know it. Hey, you coming to my house for the game?
No, because your toilet always backs up, man.
Yeah, but I'm calling Ace.
Okay, it was like 82 degrees in your house last time, and we kept popping that breaker.
That's why I'm calling Ace tomorrow.
The hardware store? I mean, you can't even use a screwdriver.
No, Ace, the one in the white and blue trucks.
Oh, right on, right on. Okay, we're back.
For plumbing, electrical, and HVAC, visit acehomeco.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your business craving efficiency? Is it hungry for productivity? Then there's a tech solution you should implement now if you want to crush your KPIs and you also want BLTs or burrito bowls or, like, bagels. It's called EasyCater, one platform for ordering food from a huge variety of restaurants for all your workplace needs, from falafel for the finance team to lasagna for the lunch and learn, plus tools to help you save time and stay on budget. Ready to nail your deliverables? Order now at EasyCater.com.
Tuning in from the car?
Flips it for the touchdown!
Stay connected to the Roar after you run your errands using our app or website. Download the Roar app on your phone by searching WCCP-FM The Roar in the App Store. Or tune in on our website, theroarfm.com/listen.
Baby, you know I'm
Waltham Tulu Road Range. You know, as Adam said, you know, I think the stuff about, well, you know, we're to get back to work. And, you know, that's really, in a way, it's all you can do. But at the same time, it's frustrating to people to hear that. The work is supposed to be done, you know, prior to losing the game. That's the problem. All six lines are lit. We're to get to you, and they're all about the same deal of time. You know, let me tell you one other thing. I think people find frustrating. I think people find frustrating having, you know, staff talk about the incredible depth they have here and the incredible depth they have there, and then, you know, you get in these situations where you're not playing well and you don't see any of it. You hear about how great Christopher Fizina is, but you don't see him. Even when Cade is not clearly not playing well, where you have 47 first downs in a year, and this guy that you've heard about as the number two quarterback and staff has basically sung his praises, we don't see him at all for a series, just a series. You know, maybe to just see if he gives you a spark, to see if it sparks Cade, whatever. We don't see it. And then from a running back situation, what I said about Adam Randall is true. He's not right now built for 30. He's physically built for it, but he's not conditioning-wise or any otherwise built for 30 carries a game right now. Now, maybe he will be 5 or 6 games from now, or maybe he'll go the opposite direction. We don't know that. But I think the frustrating part is, well, if people want more run game, okay, well, if Adam Randall needs to come out to get a little win, then I understand that perfectly. Where's Gideon Davidson? Where's Eazy-E? I mean, where are these two guys? I mean, why aren't they getting a little more run? Because we've heard about how great they are, and I think they are pretty good. But why don't we see them? You know, why don't we see them a little more? I think that's how you can give the ball to Randall 15 times and give it to each one of those guys 4 or 5 times. And then you have your carries. You know, and then you have 2 additional fresh backs, both of whom want to play. So I think that's part of the frustration. I think part of the frustration is, you know, you hear all about these guys and then you don't see them. And quite honestly, I'll just say this one more thing, and then I'm going to phones. I think fundamentally, from a benefit of college football standpoint, Dabo Swinney is 100% right in the way he approaches the portal. From a benefit of his own football team standpoint, though, in a period where these guys are collecting huge amounts of money, the existing players, I think sometimes you have to bring in more competition just for that reason. And that's an element of college football that, you know, Dabo Swinney didn't have to deal with in the past, but I think that's where you are. I almost think we're to the point where no matter what you think, you got to go out and add 7, 8 portal guys every year. It doesn't destroy the culture, and it challenges the existing status quo. It puts more jobs in jeopardy. And other than that, those jobs, I mean, Cade can't do anything to get pulled out of a game. You know? And I'm not really just talking about the quarterback position. I'm just using that as an example. All right, to the phones. Pat and Easley. Pat, how are you?
Hey, well, how are you doing,
good,
man?
Good, Pat. Good to have you.
You know, that was kind of one of the reasons I didn't call before the season got started. I was kind of just like sitting back and hearing all this stuff, and I'm not mad at no fan. We were all hype. I was too.
It's not our fault. I want to be perfectly clear.
Don't get mad. Don't be upset because they ain't doing what they supposed
right.
to be doing.
You right. Know, like, that's the problem. It's not rat poison. That's just bull crap. It's not any of that. It's that you people aren't doing your jobs. That's the point.
And my thing is, like, I was glad you said it just now. Cade, for 2 years, ain't had to worry about nobody challenging him.
Yeah.
Even the first couple of games of this year. Even after the game Saturday, I listened to Coach Sweeney go, he competed his tail off. And I'm sitting there going, like, okay, yeah, like, really? Like, dude turned the ball over twice. We had that cost us points. You know, and so for me, he's regressed, and he's never had to worry about his job because Coach Williams is putting so much on him to say he's this great quarterback, and he's not to me. And so because I've heard the same story the last two games. Kay was in the pocket. We had to play open. He ran out of pocket. South Carolina game last year, that last play where he threw the interception. Coach Sweeney said it out of the game. Pocket was there. Kay ran out of it for some reason, threw that interception when they had to play wide open. And so for me, when you keep doing that, then that tells me you're not listening and you're not worried about your job. And so because you already know, hey, the coach going, hey, I keep messing up. Coach going to leave me in there. I ain't going to put Lazina in. I'm good. And so when you send that type of message, then you're hurting the rest of the team. And then the guys that, like, one of the callers pointed out earlier today, the guys that you took to the ACC, only three players have not lived up to it. Tonio hadn't played, so you can't say nothing about him. But the guys you took up there that was doing all the talking and all the media, them guys ain't been there. And so it's just a whole team thing, and they don't have leaders. They don't have leaders. And so when you don't have that for a team that gets in your butt, you're having what you're having now. And the toughness thing is that's what gets under my skin because, like you said, Hayes King was just – I called that play every time he was going to do it. I knew he was going to run that A-gap. I was like, oh, he's going to run this – 35, second and nine, he's going to run A-gap.
Yeah, and that part's a little disturbing, you know, because, again, you know what's coming with him. I mean, and by the second half, you surely knew what was coming with him, and you still didn't stop it. Now,
I think that's what the fans getting frustrated with Tom Allen. I think that's what some of the fans
to be fair, Pat, I watched Haynes King do the exact same thing to Georgia last year. You know, and Georgia had even more talent than Clemson, had two round one NFL defensive linemen. He did the exact same thing to Georgia. And what's at some point, you know, you do got to give the individual player a little credit. And yeah, what's so amazing is at 205 pounds, this dude never goes backwards on contact. He always gets an extra yard or two every single run. It's the 320-pound defensive tackles who are going backwards, which is insane. But that's what happens.
Yep. And it was every time. I called it every time. I say, you're going to run that power punt. It's coming. Here it comes. Boom. 5, 6, 7 yards. Yep. 5, 6, 7 yards. I'm like, every time. So, I don't know. I mean, like, right now as a fan, the only thing I can do is just pull for the team, you know, and just be behind them. And I would say this to the fans, you know, we talk about the portal stuff and the transfer thing. Hey, we got to put our money where our mouths is. I know some people are contributing to NIL. I can't say too much about it myself because I'm not contributing. I can't afford you. Put your money in there. I mean, like, and maybe Coach Sweeney, like you said, well, he's got to go get 7 or 8 guys and start challenging the guys that are there. Because if you start thinking about you're going to lose your job, you start playing better.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. Pat, I got to run. Good talking to you as always.
Looking forward to the season.
Yep.
Okay, well,
thank
bye-bye.
You, Pat. Yeah, you know, the only thing I will say, and I think it's a reach at this point, and I'm not suggesting that – I'm not really buying the 2016 stuff, but the only thing I will say is that you remember when Clemson lost the game to Pittsburgh and it was over. Basically, the season was over. And then what happened is everybody else lost on, like, the same day. Everybody else lost. So it is a wild season, and there's not a lot of great teams out there, so we'll see. Randy in Inman. Randy, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Walt?
Good, Randy. Appreciate you getting in.
Yeah, this has kind of been kind of getting under my crawl. Tom Allen, the defensive coach, he's coaching up in the box, correct?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I heard somebody talking about this. This is a great idea. when Brent Venables was at Clemson, he was on the sidelines. He had to have a guy to keep him from jumping out on the field. I mean, he was going bananas every time, you know, and coaching, okay? All right. Who is actually doing any coaching on the sidelines? Tom Allen's up in the box. Is it Ben Bulware that's doing stuff? Is it Eason or who is it?
It would be all those guys. But look, I've already said this, Randy, and I thought this after the LSU game. Ben Milstead brought it up earlier, and I agree with this completely. I think that Tom Allen should be on the field. I think when you, especially, you know, you get a situation like the LSU game, I just think you need the contact of the head man who's an aggressive, you know, attack-minded defensive coordinator. I think you need the physical element of him being on the field to get in guys' ears when they're not, and you just can't have that human element when you're up above. And I think from a defensive coordinator standpoint, it's way more important than from an offensive standpoint, you know. And so I think Tom Allen needs to get to the field, and we'll find out.
Yeah, hey, you know, Walt, they had videos out with Tom Allen on the field when they were practicing before the season started. That man couldn't talk for 6 weeks. He couldn't even talk. He was screaming so much.
Exactly. And I think that's what you need.
He looked just like Brent Venables down there. He was coaching. He was screaming, getting in their face. He was hollering. He even was hitting players. He even knocked a few teeth out.
Well, and you know what? You know what, Randy? At the start, before the start of the year, they might have thought, you know, okay, you got all these big name guys, you know, all these highly compensated guys that I should be able to coach from the booth. But the reality is, when we've watched it in real life, none of those dudes are playing up to their press clipping. So now you got to shift. You got to get down in the field. You got to get in their ear.
You're absolutely right. Well, they're not playing up to their, you know, requirements. And somebody, he's going to have to get down there. Somebody's got to start a fire on that field.
Yep.
He needs to get down on the field for a game or two and see if it's going to help.
I think that's
something's
right.
got to be started down there. Those guys, they're not getting pumped up. They're not playing hard enough. And he needs to get down there and start a fire.
Yep. Thank you, Randy. I think that's right. I do. All six lines remain lit. I'm coming right to you. Don't go anywhere. I should address this, Ramona, because Clemson has, and a million people have asked me about this, and I knew this would be the case. It's just a process you have to go through. Clemson has fired the professor in question. It appears that the other two have been suspended, removed from their teaching duties, pending investigation for termination. That's the word from Clemson. So it appears that all three of those individuals are going to be fired at Clemson. One already has. Two have had their teaching privileges terminated. And so for all the people who thought Clemson wasn't going to do anything about that, I thought you were 100% wrong. I thought Clemson was just going through the process, and Clemson has now acted, and that process continues. So Clemson 100% doing the right thing. Quick break.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter